You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's celebrating 300 episodes. And to celebrate, we're going to do like that movie I've never seen and kick a man into a big hole.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm Cody.
I'm Sam, and I assure you, I'm not a cat.
And I'm King Leonidas.
And that movie I was talking about was Meet the Spartans.
Yes. Oh, the classic Meet the Spartans. Definitely not anything else. Hey, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you. A bunch of news to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out! Wow, it's very nice.
300 episodes is very nice.
It is very nice.
Man, would you?
Would
you believe that we'd still be doing this?
I did not think we were going to make it past 100, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been talking about 300. So it's 300 episodes that we have done total, including the time before being on WZMO. If we count WZMO episodes, I think it's like 265 or something like that. We didn't do a whole lot before being on air. But yeah,
that's how good that we are. We did 10 and then immediately got picked up.
That's it. Exactly. That's right.
That's how the story goes. Don't look into it anymore.
Don't look into it any further than that.
We used to do this in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a few car casts. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about some things we've been checking out. Have you guys watched WandaVision?
Yes.
Yes.
How good is WandaVision?
Oh, man.
So good.
It's been a couple extra episodes. Because we're recording this on Thursday, we haven't seen the most recent episode, but we have watched episodes 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And it continues to just be amazing.
5 was a trip.
5 was a trip. I actually really liked 6 as well.
6 isn't out yet.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, 5. Sorry. 4.
4 and 5.
4 and 5. I liked... Yeah, they were both
good. Both very, yeah, very
like
good.
4 felt the most different, but also the whole episode was called We Interrupt This Broadcast. Or
yeah, I think having it, running it back and explaining, okay, what is going on, just shy of the halfway mark was the perfect time, because I don't think they could stretch the premise many more episodes before people started tuning out, going, I don't understand what's going on. This is too weird. 4 episodes in and finally getting answers. Was perfect.
How great is Jimmy Woo and Darcy?
Super great.
They're both great.
So good, in fact, that there's been someone on Twitter who has been trying to hype up
A Woo and Darcy show.
They want an X-Files style show set in the Marvel Universe starring Jimmy Woo and Darcy as two agents investigating the weirder side of the Marvel Universe.
Well,
it has gotten far enough that the guy was asked to write a pitch for Marvel. So it could actually happen.
Well, it's a good idea.
Well, yeah, right?
The weird thing is, like, as much as like Jimmy Woo's character, or Jimmy Woo himself, has been like in the MCU, and he's still just an FBI agent.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool that
he's not a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, he's not a S.W.O.R.D. agent.
And that's because Ant-Man, until the whole time travel Avengers part, was kind of a more grounded, I guess, quotes, grounded kind of story, I suppose.
And he's gotten better at close-up magic.
Yes, that was a great, that was a great little Easter egg. I mean, on top of a million other little Easter eggs.
And Darcy got her doctorate.
She did. Yep.
She's now Dr. Darcy.
Not in political science, it turns out.
No.
Yeah, I remember that gag.
I love Kat Dennings. She's great.
But oh, man, those 2 episodes.
Very, very good.
So do we want to like preference like, hey, guess what? This is spoiler territory now.
Maybe just a couple of minutes worth. I don't want to spend a whole half an episode we did last time.
We went pretty hard on WandaVision last week.
And when the show wraps up, we're probably going to have a big, long discussion about it. So, yeah, let's kind of keep it short and sweet with the WandaVision talk. But, yeah, for the next 3 minutes, we'll say spoiler territory. 3, 2, 1. So Wanda is in control of what is going on to some extent.
It's still a big maybe.
My theory is that while she has created the idyllic version of Westview, like that is from her, someone else, some outside force is kind of influencing her to move in certain directions.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's the one that trapped everyone in the town and created old TV show land, but someone else is influencing her to have kids, which then in turn, the kids kind of influence her to, well, they say bring back their pet dog, but they're really egging her on to bring back Pietro in some form, which happens. That's the tail end of episode.
Yeah, that's the big five. That's the big.
But it's not the one you think it would
be. It's not the one you would think. No, it's the other one. It's the X-Men one.
It's legitimately Quicksilver.
Honestly, the better of the two better Quicksilver.
One. Yeah, it's the much better one.
Not to slight the actor that played him in Ultron. He was fine. They just didn't give him as fun of stuff as the X-Men one had.
Yeah.
And also, like, at the beginning of episode five, when they're talking about Wanda and all this, that, and the other, and, like, the sword director guy was like, does Wanda have, like, you know, a goofy name? And they dance around and go, no, she don't.
Yeah.
But then they bring in the Pietro that does have the goofy code name. So it makes me wonder if we're actually going to finally start calling her the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, we will. By the end of this. Yeah, by the end of the series, they'll definitely have solidified that, I'm sure.
Yeah. So my question is, this Pietro that they brought back, is this the one from the actual X-Men universe? Is it someone from the town that she has used her powers to recast as her brother, or is this something else entirely?
I think it is full-on legitimately Pietro from the X-Men First Class films.
I kind of am leaning that way as well.
Yeah.
Because one thing, I was talking to somebody else about it. They brought up the fact that everything in her world has to manipulate to be from that time period. So that particular episode was set in the 80s. That is 80s Pietro.
Oh, true. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because that's what, in that movie,
Dark Phoenix,
yeah,
and the other ones, yeah, that is well, 80s.
Well, Apocalypse was 80s.
Apocalypse was 80s, but so was Dark Phoenix. Dark Phoenix took place relatively soon after.
Because Days of Future Past was 70s.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, or it just might be a whole, like, you know, alternate dimension thing, and like he is Pietro, but he is not her Pietro.
It might be a situation where someone has manipulated her, and she did pull him from another universe, and by doing so is weakening the boundaries between the multiverse, and which is what will end up going
they're definitely
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, gearing up the Doctor Strange stuff.
I think that this is a big, long, extremely convoluted excuse
to bring
the X-Men in. Because, okay, so you know comics.
Yeah.
In comics where, well, I mean, you guys know comics, but this is a comics concept when comic companies try to do, oh, we're starting over new issue number ones. This is a great jumping on point.
New continuities.
A lot of times when there are like multiple backstories, like Hawkman, who has like five or six origin stories, and it seems like there are always big, big crossover events that then solidify four or five different multiverses into one new universe where they pick and choose kind of where
what worked and what didn't.
I mean, DC's the worst about it.
DC's really, but Marvel's done it too. And
recently,
I think,
yes.
And I think this is Marvel's way of having their cake and eating it too by saying the fight with Thanos, everyone was there. But now in this new reality, there have been X-Men for the past 20 years. But don't worry about it. You know that they weren't around, but as far as everyone else in the universe is concerned, oh yeah, Wolverine was there. He was there in the background fighting Thanos with everyone else, and so was Cyclops. They're just in the background. Don't worry about it. Like, everyone in the in-universe doesn't know that there was a prior timeline or multiverse or universe where X-Men didn't exist, but now they do. So they can just jump in and start telling X-Men stories.
Or countries like Latveria. You know, things
Latveria,
like that.
Yeah, Fantastic Four stuff, things like that. I think that's what is going on with this.
But also, like, as soon as I saw his face, I was like, no, no.
I, unfortunately, was slightly spoiled.
Aww.
I knew it was going to be, I knew it was either going to be Quicksilver, or I thought off chance might have been Magneto.
Oh, that would have been cool too.
Because I saw the meme format where it's like Wanda opening up the door, looking shocked, and then there would be like a joke as the third panel.
Yeah.
And while watching the episode, one of the first things they did was they mentioned her parents, and her parents were definitely not Magneto.
Yeah, they were her MCU parents.
They were her MCU parents. And the only reason I'm thinking they mentioned that is because by the end of this, those aren't going to be her parents. It's going to be Magneto and whatever. I forget who their mother was. I think it was just some random
person
from the old country or something.
Did you notice when she came out of the hex?
She's wearing her
MCU outfit, but also her accent comes back.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit, like full on.
Mm-hmm.
Like Age of Ultron accent.
Yeah. So that is like evil Wanda, which is kind of a weird way to denote that she is, because in some of the other movies, she has affected an American accent despite being on the Avengers team. So it is kind of a weird shorthand that
maybe when she's
Russians are evil.
The what is the country?
The other is the evil trope.
The something, it starts with an S.
Yeah.
Slavic.
It's fake. It's not Slavic. It's Sokovia.
Sokovia. Yeah.
The Sokovian.
The Sokovia Accords. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of a weird kind of, but
well, maybe it's kind of like something kind of like with people who are bilingual, and when they get stressed,
they slide into their
slide into their home language.
That could be it too. Yeah. Well, that could just be it.
But also, it might be her just more, maybe more tapping into her power, and it takes more effort to use her power. So she can't code switch her accent. Maybe
we had to have gone over.
Minutes at this point. Yeah, let's move on to some other things that we've been checking out. What do you guys have?
We have been watching that Fate Winx Saga show. It's bad.
It's what I hear.
It's really like I have virtually no reference for the show. Like, I know of it. I've seen pictures of it.
I've seen a couple episodes of it.
I don't even have that. I know it exists.
One of the guys that I used to be a homemade for liked that kind of stuff and tried a couple episodes of Winx, and even he was like, I don't care for this.
other than the character names and the fact that they call themselves fairies, this show has virtually nothing to do with the source material.
All I know about this is what Jenny Nicholson has tweeted about.
There's been a lot of that.
It is a tropey, horrible mess. And also,
but is it that fun kind of garbage where you get to sit in Mystery Science Theater it, or is it just like dregs?
Is it Riverdale, or is it worse than Riverdale?
Yeah.
Well, I've never watched Riverdale, I don't have a reference on that.
I was going to say, is it Sabrina? But Sabrina's actually gotten pretty good.
I don't know. Like,
that's why they canceled it.
Like I said,
it's too good.
It's super tropey. Like, also, they took this kid show and made it definitely not a kid show.
Yeah, it's like TVMA.
Like, there's drugs and violence.
Weird. Seems to be a theme hinting at news for later.
It's just like, if you're that ashamed of the property that you're adapting, maybe just don't adapt that
property. Don't do it. Like, slap some other names on it. Be creative.
They could have literally called it anything else and shot everything else the same, and it'd just be your run-of-the-mill, magical, young adult schlocky mess.
Imagine if they did this to Sailor Moon.
Don't say that too loud. Someone will get that idea.
Because I mean, they're similar.
It's gonna happen.
They're similar properties, kind of like
winning
conceptually.
But you know, the only
Sailor Mercury is addicted to uppers because they help her study.
Dude, for real.
Did we actually hit on a topic of the show?
Not necessarily, okay. But there's like a whole lot of drug use. Like,
really?
And like, there's a whole drinking kegger party.
Kind of weird.
Hints at sex, but you never actually see any, which is fine.
Sailor Mars has anger problems, and they're causing a rift in her home life.
It's a very special episode.
By her home life.
Yeah. They'll delve deeper into Sailor Jupiter and how both of her parents are dead, but they never really talk about it.
But they also the fact that Wanda episode or WandaVision episode was called a very special episode.
Yes.
Anyway,
I got that.
But yeah, it's a bad show.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. It's real dumb. We're halfway through the series.
I'm going to keep pitching these plot points and then the CW is going to give me a call.
Perfect.
Like it's that hard. The CW will literally do anything.
Hey, at this point...
Hey, Supernatural's over. Let's give that tall guy Walker, Texas Ranger.
We'll take that one episode where Sailor Venus tried to help all of her sick friends and now she's a night nurse.
Yeah, right. That was an episode. Yeah. It's one of the few earlier episodes that gave Sailor Venus a personality.
Yeah, something to do.
Yeah, otherwise she's just kind of
a good episode. Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, she's just kind of a block of wood.
Well, there's that episode and there's the episode where her British friend comes. And they talk about her old days of being Sailor V back before.
Oh, yeah.
She's just Sailor Moon, but she cries less.
Yeah.
And more boy crazy.
And if you read the old Sailor V manga, she is just literally Sailor Moon in that, too.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more determined Sailor Moon. Like, but still the same, like, airheaded, like...
I mean, she has her moments. I mean, when Sailor Jupiter shows up, every time they meet a guy, she's like, oh, he's just like the guy who broke my heart.
It's okay.
And brought it up all the time.
That's all right.
That's her personality.
Yeah, well, her true love is Sailor Mercury, so, you know. you guys don't put them together?
No, I don't ship that direction.
The cookbook?
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
The cookbook?
Because
she cooks and she's a bookworm.
And the other one's a bookworm. They're always paired up together on the show. And also,
yeah, I guess they kind of are, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's a thing. It's
you know,
at least a thing on a podcast that I listen to.
They're my two favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, I love how they always like talk about like, oh, she's so tall. She's so tall. But when if you actually look up like how tall.
She's like 5'4".
Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Sailor Moon's 4'11".
They all look pretty tall on the show
because they're 90% legs.
That was something. Every time freaking Chibi Moon transforms, her legs get longer.
That's gross.
And I hate it.
Well, everything about Chibi Moon is awful.
Yes, yeah. I hate Chibi Moon with a burning passion. And the fact
she did have a real gun that one episode.
Yeah, but I'm in like, you know, the whole, you know, space evil circus arc.
Well, then she turns into Black Lady, and it's like, I don't think you can call yourself that.
Not legally.
Yeah,
I don't think that's cool.
Yeah.
But the fact that...
Might want to take another pass at that one, Chibi.
But yeah, but like, she's in every episode, and she's so integral to every part of these stupid
episodes. Oh, wait till season 5 when you get to Chibi.
Small.
No, I hate... No.
Yeah, there's...
She's
like a Pokemon. All she can say is Chibi.
Ugh.
She can say her name, and that's it.
I could have swore this was going to be the last arc of Sailor Moon.
Nope.
With this stupid unicorn.
Nope. Oh, God. The space horse?
Yeah.
It's a bad horse. That horse is a bad horse.
Swift Wind it is not.
No.
I am Swift Wind. He is probably one of the best characters in the new She-Ra. But no, I
got a PlayStation 5.
So, nice. All right.
Let me talk about that real quick.
Yeah. How is it?
It is pretty cool, actually. Like, yeah. I'm actually kind of impressed with it.
Okay, cool.
The controller is really awesome, like that haptic feedback stuff it has.
I've heard that's really neat. It's
really
like
cool.
Tiny speakers in it that...
Yeah, it has speakers.
So it's more than just, like, DualShock with a speaker bar in the front?
Yeah. Well, and the triggers have... They change how, like, hard it is to press them.
Oh.
And
like they add, like, a resistance depending on what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like the little game that it comes with, the freebie game, Astro's Playground or
something?
Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah, Astro's Playground.
It is super charming and good. It's just like a short, like, 2 or 3 hour platform game that just kind of
shows off
the controller. And it is like the most charming thing I think I've ever seen Sony do.
Oh, that's awesome. I've actually also heard the PS5 version of Bugsnax shows off a lot of the haptic stuff.
Huh, I'll have to get
like,
that because I
lot.
Do like... Bugsnax,
yeah,
on the PC, but I only played it once and just haven't gone back. But on the PlayStation 5, I might.
Yeah.
But and it's chock full of like references to other games and stuff. As you go through, there's a little robots running around. It plays like the conceit is you're a little robot that lives inside the PlayStation 5,
mm-hmm.
and you go through the different parts of it. Like one level's based on the GPU, and one's based on the solid state hard
drive.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice. That's kind of cool.
And the whole time, there's little robots dressed like characters from other games doing stuff as you're exploring. So you're constantly keeping an eye out for
little Easter eggs.
Yeah, little Easter eggs and references. And it's just a cute platformer, like very Mario-esque.
Oh, cool.
And you collect different items that are all different things from PlayStation history. Like, there's different artifacts, so you're collecting, like, a PlayStation 1, or the screen that you plugged into the back of the PS1.
Oh, God. Yeah,
or the Pocket
that. Yeah.
Station.
Yeah.
The multi-tap for PlayStation 2, which was apparently
a
thing.
That's a thing.
Oh, yeah,
I do know that's a thing. Yeah.
Because that was like my GameStop employment heyday was PlayStation 2.
The PlayStation 2 modem. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's all kind of self-congratulatory, but it's fun.
Yeah, well, if they make it fun, then it's okay.
Yeah, and it's got Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
Oh, it does? Do they reference in Dante?
There's a little robot with a red coat and two guns shooting stuff in the air.
That's great.
There's literally Crash Bandicoot robot doing Crash's stupid little dance that he does.
That's great.
Spyro's there. Tekken guys are fighting.
Nice.
There's a Buster sword in the ground at one point, because that's probably all that Square would let them have.
Is there a Twisted Metal thing? Is Sweet Tooth's van somewhere?
There probably is, but I didn't see it.
Okay.
Solid Snake.
Yeah, there's a cardboard box with a robot hiding underneath it. And
perfect.
The sticker on the side of the box says Solid State.
Oh,
the hard drive.
Oh, that's a good joke.
But State.
I don't want to say it was worth the price of admission for this stupid freebie game, but it was really fun, and I really enjoyed the 3 hours
Cool.
The other game I've got is that Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Yeah,
that Ubisoft.
I've heard it's
Breath
okay.
of the Wild. Yeah, it's fine. That, and I've played a lot of the PlayStation 5 version of Control.
Okay.
Which I've talked about Control on
yeah,
here before,
you've talked
and it's
about
still
Control.
Very...
I mean, it is the free game on PS Now.
Yeah. It's still very good, and the controller has the HD rumble with the game, so you can feel like every footstep that you take.
Oh, wow. No, that's awesome.
It's kind of like the promise of the HD rumble with the Switch that they never really like did anything with.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They might just forget about this in a year.
But
I don't know.
I mean, it's a cool gimmick that sold some machine, some things. So that's cool. Well, I have one check-em. We only have a couple minutes here. But so I watched a new movie by the creator of such classics as Manborg and The Void, which is an actual legit good movie.
Yeah, that's a really good movie. I've seen that one.
And probably my favorite thing that the guy has done, it was a trailer tacked onto the end of Manborg called BioCop, where it's just a cop that is constant. Like, it's a police procedural, like, give me your badge, BioCop, you're a crazy on the edge cop. And like but the cop is melting and yelling about how he wants to die. No, I'll show you the trailer during the break. It's hilarious. But no, the movie that they made is called PG Psycho Goreman. And this movie, it's hard to describe, because it is a comedy. It's a horror comedy, but it goes in a weird E.T. vein, but not like a parody, not to like the level of parody. But imagine if the kids that found E.T., well, one, the kids, if Gertie was just the worst human being and was constantly mean to Elliot, but also the E.T. that they found was a full-blown Power Rangers villain.
Like an Ivan Ooze looking kind of...
Ivan Ooze or like, well, actually like a Lord Zedd. Like, he looks like a scary monster, not like a goofy monster.
Hmm.
This movie, it mixes everything I kind of love. It's they go out of their way to not curse in for like 90%. I mean, it's still rated R. And so they do drop the F-bomb once or twice. But more times than not, they'll say like frick. There is a musical montage in the middle of it.
Nice.
It's a lot of snappy dialogue and just dumb, stupid dialogue. A lot of times Psycho Gorman goes on like these big, long diatribes about, oh, I've gotten my power from the planet Gygax and I'm, you know, all this stuff. And they like cut him off like, oh, no, this story sucks. Stop. Just stop.
We don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
The planet was called Gygax.
The planet was called Gygax, and the town that the kids live in is Spangler Falls. So, Egon.
Yeah.
So two references.
So a D&D reference.
And a Ghostbusters reference. But that's as far as the references go.
Huh.
But it is incredibly, like, over-the-top, comedically violent. It's Toxic Avenger like, 1.
The best kind of violence.
Yeah, the best kind.
I was going to ask, like, the shopping unreal. Mall?
Yes, actually, there are multiple heads explode in this film.
They're like RoboCop.
Oh,
well, I don't know if RoboCop is it.
RoboCop's not comedic, but
sometimes
I would say RoboCop 2. You know that montage in RoboCop 2 when they're testing out other RoboCops and they all fail. Like the one is like just a screaming skull who shoots himself in the head.
Yeah.
It's that level of weird gore. There is at one point Psycho Goreman's like crew comes back to Earth and oh, it's a twist, they're the ones that actually helped the more villainous villain lock him up for a million years, and they're just like beating the tar out of him, and one of them is just a robot and his with two like squirt gun arms and is just squirting blood just that's all he's doing. He's just standing there squirting like, and it looks like a tomato soup. It just looks like tomato soup coming out of these two cannons. And it's the voice of Rich Evans laughing while it's happening. At one point, that same robot gets punched in like its glass containment. And you hear Rich Evans scream, oh, my God, like he does on the Best of the Worst or Half in the Bag stuff as he deflates. It mixes Power Rangers and 80s over the top like comedic
violence gore.
Violence and overly saccharine to the point of like near parody, not full parody, but near parody, like family stuff. Like the dad of the two kids gives just the worst advice. Like multiple times in the movie, he will stop and, you know, the music slows down and it's like he's giving like the sage advice to the kids and he's like, one time when I was a child, a man pulled up to our school in a white van and told me that he wanted to show me his baseball card collection. So I went with him. And those were the coolest baseball cards. I'm glad I trusted that weird man.
Wait, so
just like you and your weird friend.
So he's the pilot from Airplane?
Yeah, kind of. He's the pilot from Airplane. Yeah. But Psycho Goreman, if you have a weak stomach, don't watch it. But if you have a very specific type of sense of humor, I would say search it out. It's worth your time. It's good. It's not, but it's not like awesome. It's good. It's not great.
I don't know. I like the name Psycho Goreman.
Yeah. Like how it sounds like a Tokyo Shock. Like
yeah. It's a really like Japanese.
Yeah.
Like super
like Tokyo
hero.
Gore Police.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they're going for with it.
Robo-Geisha, Machine Girl.
Yeah.
Frankenstein Girl versus Vampire Girl.
Something like yeah. It's a lot of that stuff. Yeah. All right, so hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was The Lovers of Loving Love by the Aquabats. It was close to the first song that we played when we started airing on WZMO. Not the first song.
That was an incredibly low-tier Weezer song.
Yeah, we didn't want to play that one. But and plus, you know, it's close to Valentine's Day, so it's thematically appropriate.
And historically, Aquabats have been a go-to for us over the years.
They have. Yeah, the Aquabats were the intro music for our very first episode, Believe in the Magic, episode 1, which we recorded longer ago than I'd like to think about.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about.
I don't
want to
think about it.
Was.
So anyway, let's go ahead and move on.
I don't think I was even on the show yet.
You were not. No. You actually...
That would have been back in the old days,
wouldn't it? We talked about the first Hunger Games movie.
We did.
In the first
episode. It was coming, yeah. Or it was out. It had just been out or something.
Yeah, we had all like seen it at that point, I think.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I wanted to listen to the first episode of the show to kind of review it for this episode. But I got about 5 minutes in and I'm like, this is incredibly embarrassing. I don't want to do that. Those first handful were a little rough. They were a little rough.
It felt like we did such a good job at the time.
It did. And you know what? It sounded professional. It sounded good. It was just a lot of ums and uhs that I did not cut out. It was a little difficult to check out.
To stomach?
Hey, it would be very upsetting if we did 300 of these and did not get any better.
That's very true. Good point. All right, so hey, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of this news. Oh man, I waited too long. I didn't know which one to pick. I didn't know which clip to pick. So I waited too long and now it's just too awkward if I play a clip now.
Just do a retake.
No, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep pressing on. And sometime, if it feels natural, I will play the clip. So anyway, let's go ahead.
I rescind my previous comment about 300 of these.
Getting better.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
Still just some bumbling goofballs.
yep. So anyway, yeah, go ahead and pick a topic. We'll start talking about some of this here news. You know what? Let's start with some Super Bowl commercials.
All right.
Yeah, they were largely not awesome this year. They were kind of hit or miss, I would say.
Too many.
All right! Toronto!
There. It felt natural.
Too many touchy-feely ones about how we've gone through some tough patches this year.
In these unprecedented times.
Don't remind me of it. Especially if I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but if I was, it would be to not think about the times.
At least the commercials didn't have anyone like acting while wearing masks. Like house party. With your brewskis, yeah. Everyone's wearing six masks and standing 6 feet apart. At least they didn't go that route.
Even the commercial that was like 2020 sure was bad.
Yeah.
At least was like, oh, it's raining lemons. Like life gives you lemons. Like, yeah. That wasn't.
Make a hard seltzer.
Yeah.
Out of them, I guess.
There's a lot of hard seltzer ones, actually.
Yeah, there are quite a few. Yeah.
You know, I think my favorite instance of when life gives you lemons comes from Portal 2.
Yeah, make lemon grenades.
And burn your house down. Some cave jots.
So which commercials for products do you think stood out this year? Again, weren't a whole lot of real standouts.
I mean, I really like the Bud Light one where they had all the various mascots of Bud Light.
Yeah, it had Cedric the Entertainer, and it had the Bud Knight.
Yeah, I just like anytime the Bud Knight comes out.
Yeah, it had that guy from Europe singing what was going on in the commercial. That was pretty good.
I was like, where are the Budweiser frogs? But then you guys reminded me that that's not Bud Light.
Yeah.
It's regular Budweiser.
Yep.
Which at that point I might have like, where was the what's up, guys?
What's up?
Yeah. As dumb as I thought it was, I kind of liked the Paramount.
Oh yeah, that
streaming
one's great.
App. I don't like the idea of a Paramount streaming app because there are so many streaming apps now and it's getting so fragmented. It's like having cable again and
it's
bad.
All it is the CBS app rebranded.
Well, yeah, but I didn't like the CBS app
but
either.
But it's also got Viacom. Mm. That's why Beavis and Butthead were there.
Yeah. But it was kind of neat. Again, kind of neat to see all those folks in one spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was good. That was all right.
It was a case of a Super Bowl commercial where like we're spending all this money to put all these people in one place and then once we've got that we don't really have anything for them to do.
So yeah, that's that was it. Yeah.
I mean Colbert, Patrick Stewart, Dora the Explorer. I mean so many iconic faces.
It had the ring lady.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Sudoku.
Yeah, yep, Sudoku. Sudoku, that was the ring lady.
Definitely Sudoku.
Yeah, that's it. Couldn't be anything else.
All I can think of is the American name was Samara.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sudeiko. I think it's Sudeiko.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Ringu.
That's all right.
It's fine, yeah.
There's nothing to... It's fine. One commercial that wasn't part of our viewing... We watched a whole bunch of them before recording. One of the ones that wasn't on that playlist that has also been playing in front of a bunch of YouTube videos, which I kind of hate. You would think it would be right up our alley, but I kind of hate it. It's the Wayne's World.
Oh, I did see that one.
I've not seen that one, and I still have not seen either Wayne's World film.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, you would probably like Wayne's World 1 at least, Cody, but... No, this one, I know what they were trying to do with it, because there's a bit in Wayne's World 1 and 2 where they are going back and forth talking about how, wow, product placement is really bad. This totally Pepsi. Sucks. And if they just happen to be like...
Oh, know, I've seen that bit. Yeah, I know that bit.
They're doing that bit, but they had Mike Myers and Dana Carvey in the set doing the thing. And I don't know, it just seemed kind of... They just seem old. Mike Myers more than Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey still has it. But Mike Myers, you could tell, he had a look on his face similar to the time he was standing next to Kanye West when Kanye West said all that stuff live on television. And he didn't know what to do. But he just looked... And also Cardi B was in that commercial with him.
We gotta have somebody for the kids. The kids know.
I guess. But it was kind of just embarrassing. It was a DoorDash commercial.
Oh, there were a bunch of commercials for like Shop Local and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Shop Local, but it was presented by like huge mega conglomerates. Yeah. It's like Shop Local, but not really.
And by local, we mean your local Walmart.
Yeah. But as far as the commercials go, it really wasn't anything too interesting. I wouldn't say. Can you guys think of any others? A lot of
various alcohol companies taking pot shots at Anheuser-Busch, though.
Yeah.
Which I think, I mean, that's kind of funny in my opinion, but...
There was a really weird 5-second one for Reddit.
Yeah, that was weird. That was like definitely a blink and you miss it, because it looks like it starts off as like a car commercial.
Did all the people that made the GameStonks money, did they buy that?
They may
is
have.
Is that what it is? That's all by a Super Bowl commercial?
Let's buy 5 seconds
was?
Of Super Bowl saying, hey, I mean, Reddit is where people made money. So come on to Reddit.
That's basically what that little quick blurb.
That's what it said, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was... It was weird.
I don't do the Reddits enough to know.
I only go to Reddit when I'm looking for an answer to an issue that I'm having, some technical issue or something, mm-hmm. and it's just one of the Google results is
yep.
this Reddit thread. That's
pretty.
It.
I used to check the Nintendo Reddit a lot when there was Nintendo news, but there's none of that anymore.
No,
so.
Nintendo doesn't do things anymore. So let's talk about some of the movie and television show trailers. Again, there weren't a whole lot, but there were some pretty neat ones.
There was Falcon Winter Soldier. It looked cool.
It looked cool. It looks like it's more of a traditional Marvel Studios
outing.
Sure. Yeah.
The people who don't get WandaVision will appreciate this more, I think.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I mean, again, people who were a lot of the people complaining about WandaVision are complaining that there's not a whole lot of action. This seems like it's an action show, but this trailer did some highlighting of the buddy cop aspect between Falcon and Winter Soldier, and that's pretty cool.
I mean, I loved their dynamic in Civil War.
Yeah, same here.
I'm sure it'll be good, but I'm worried with how good WandaVision is, will all the other shows seem, I don't want to say
like
lame.
It's like a step backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of worry about that too with like anything they do with Star Wars after Mandalorian.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I really like WandaVision. It is probably one of my favorite things that the MCU has ever done.
It's up there for me with this as well. Yeah.
And I'm glad that they want to do something that's kind of different and challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their biggest successes were, you know, when they did something weird, like Guardians and Doctor Strange.
And this looks like the safest thing they could possibly do, which can be fine. Like, I'm not dissing on it. I mean, it'll probably be good.
Sure. And it will, but yeah, I agree.
It's just really safe, is I guess is what I'm saying.
Yep. So there was also a trailer for the Clarice. Is it a prequel or a sequel?
I think it's a sequel.
Sequel to Silence of the Lambs, legally distinct from Silence of the Lambs because they can't use Hannibal Lecter or any reference to that.
I saw a different ad where you see like flashes of like what would be, the pit and Buffalo Bill's dog and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they literally can't do Hannibal Lecter at all, which is kind of like doing a show called Crystal Lake and then you can't have Jason Voorhees or his mom in it.
Yeah.
Well, why can't they use Hannibal Lecter? Is it like a legal thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hannibal is on a different... Well, it was on a different station, and it's the rights are owned by another company currently. Yeah.
then why?
So stay tuned for Crystal Lake on ABC.
A wacky teen comedy about camping.
Check out Elm Street on CW.
The teenagers have sex and nothing bad happens.
Yeah. So there was also a trailer for F9, part of the Fast saga.
Also a key on your keyboard.
Yes.
But that's unrelated.
Totally unrelated. I mean, you could mash on that really fast, and I bet it would probably have a
something your computer would be furious.
Yes, it might. Exactly. But
God, that was the dumbest joke we've ever done.
Congratulations,
we did it.
The balloons are dropping from the ceiling.
Oh, there's confetti in my mouth.
Yeah, but no, Fast 9 looks
like another Fast movie.
It looks very stupid. I think I can safely say that of the three of us, I am the Fast and Furious expert.
Well, yeah, you're the one that subjected yourself to that.
Hey, quarantine was weird.
You clockwork oranged yourself.
Quarantine was a weird time. Mistakes were made.
I do appreciate the fact that they do seem to top themselves with in ridiculousness every film.
Yep, and this one is no exception.
Oh yeah, like the whole point where like the car turns on its side and goes through a wall.
It drives through a building. Yeah. Only to be fine on the other side.
Also, is it just me or is like Vin Diesel's accent or whatever? Like he's putting it on more. Like it's almost like the voice.
Tough guy voice.
It's almost like its own character at this point.
Oh, yeah.
He's become parody of himself.
Yeah. No, these films are parodies of the original one and two. More one than two, but they are parodies. And from what I understand, movie 10 is going to be the last one, and they're going to space. No joke, Dom Toretto is going to space.
He's
going
to drift a rocket.
He's going to drive his car...
On the moon.
On the moon.
He's going to grind the rings of Saturn with Dodge Charger or whatever
Charger.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about space family. From here, I can see everybody's family. The world is like one big family. One small step for Dom. One giant leap for family.
Then his Dodge Charger explodes out of the side of the International Space Station.
Yes. Did we write the 10th movie?
The Canada arm on the space shuttle grabs the car and throws it into space.
Just whips it into space as far as it can. Yeah.
And it just starts spinning and then credits.
They're going to have to ricochet a car off of off of Elon Musk's space Tesla.
That's it. Yeah. All right. So
give us money.
Yeah. We wrote your movie. Give us money now.
Today we've wrote a Fast and Furious film and a gritty CW reboot of Sailor Moon.
Yeah. Speaking of gritty CW reboots, how about that Powerpuff Girls show that they're going to be doing?
No, thank you.
But hey, what if I told you that they're about the Powerpuff Girls when they're in their 20s and disillusioned with being teen superheroes?
Also, wait, no thank you.
That, is that what it's really about?
Yes. They are in their 20s and they hate their dad and hate the fact that they were child superheroes.
It's so antithetical to the concept of the entire show.
Yep.
Are they going to have fingers?
Probably. Yeah, they're humans.
That would be wild if it was live action and they had those stones.
It's like that guy who made that realistic, like, flesh latex Lego man costume.
Oh, God, that's horrifying with the clout.
With those claws?
With the clamps. Oh, God. Oh, no. I mean, why would you remind me of that?
Character designs exist for teen Powerpuffs. There was an episode.
They do exist. Now, the question is, will we see Ms. Bellum's face?
I hope not.
They wrote her out of the reboot show.
Oh, she was in like one episode.
Yeah, where they write her out. She's like goes to help people overseas or something. Doctors Without Borders or her home planet.
Yeah.
It's like in MASH when the one guy quit and they just have like his helicopter went down over the sea of Japan.
I quit the war.
Poochie must go back to his home planet now.
That's so dumb. The anime Powerpuff Girls sounds better than that. And that show's dumb.
Yeah.
It's not what the show was about.
Yeah, it's really not. And I hope this show dies in pre-production. And I don't say that often because, I mean, it does also sound like a train wreck that I kind of want to see the pilot. I kind of want to at least see the pilot of it.
Yeah. I mean, I say this, but would I watch it to see how bad it is? Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Where's my gritty Dexter's Lab?
Oh, that would be great. Well, I mean, it does kind of exist. It's called The Big Bang Theory. Swap Leonard and Sheldon for Mandark and Dexter, and you have...
And Penny is Dee Dee.
No, that's weird because Dexter and Dee Dee would be...
That's
would
true, end up but I mean...
It's the same dynamic.
Yeah.
If you just swap Dexter and Mandark for Leonard and Sheldon, you can call that the grown-up Dexter's Lab.
I was going to say live-action Johnny Bravo, but that's... No.
That's 90% of MTV's television lineup. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Other shows that might be coming down the pike. There is a Velma Origins, Velma of the Scooby-Doo, in the works, possibly starring Mindy Kaling as the voice of Velma. She is also producing it.
I like Mindy Kaling a lot, and I like the idea of a Scooby-Doo show, but for adults.
But this is before Scooby-Doo, so it's just Velma.
Though she existed in a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Canonically.
No,
But what is Scooby-Doo canon, really?
There is no Scooby-Doo canon. I mean...
It's a Scooby multiverse.
Yeah. I am so tired of origin stories. And, I mean, listen, Velma's great. She's great, but...
If you're going to make a show, but if you're going to pull a character from Scooby-Doo that's not Scooby and Shaggy to make a show, Velma.
It's Velma. But I don't know if the character has enough
to exist on
its own.
I would go the other way and do post-Scooby-Doo. Velma is a struggling mystery writer.
Yeah, that would be the way I would...
Solving mysteries.
Like Murder, She Wrote?
Murder, She Wrote style, exactly.
Yeah. I just worry that with this being set prior to Scooby-Doo, they run into the Star Trek Discovery situation where the pull of bringing in situations and people that from the original series was too great for them. Because season one... The show wasn't awesome, but they did their own thing. Season two, Captain Pike showed up, and also young Spock. They just couldn't leave well enough alone, and I don't know if a Velma show could go that long without going, oh, here's our stoner friend and his big, big, weird dog.
Who also talks.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's this annoying puppy.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, like,
how much time do we have between, like, a pup named Scooby-Doo, where now Velma's eight, and Scooby-Doo, where she's like 16, 14?
I always figured they were post-high school.
Yeah, but say, they all, to be I mean, granted, to be fair, it was the 70s.
Yeah, they're teenagers.
There's nothing in the show to indicate this, but I always assumed that all of the original 70s Scooby-Doo took place the summer after their senior year of high school, because before they went off their separate ways
to go to like college,
yeah, do their own thing. It's like that summer where they. Do you remember
one
wild summer where we solved all those mysteries with our talking dog?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's that like that legitimate island with legitimate zombies.
Yeah.
when we went up to all those music festivals and solved mysteries on the way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of where we helped Kiss do something. Yeah. That time we met Don Knotts.
Yeah, though we helped out the Harlem Globetrotters all those times.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Batman, he was there.
Batman, yeah.
Wait, here's the other thing. All those movies with just Shaggy running around. What is that? In the timeline.
Post.
Yeah. Team breakup. The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, where they're helping Vincent Van Gogh. That's post.
Yeah, that's post. And then Velma and Fred are gone.
Well, Velma came. Velma.
Velma does show up, on occasion.
Velma shows up on occasion. Daphne
is there. Yeah, she's there.
Well, yeah. I remember when I was a kid.
You gotta have the face.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had this movie on VHS. It was Scooby-Doo and the Reluctant Werewolf.
Yes.
Where Dracula turned Shaggy into a werewolf.
And they had to race.
Yeah, for their stupid, his stupid, wacky races. Because the wolf man was on vacation.
Because the movie Transylvania 6 to 5000 was very popular at the time.
But also, there's some girl in that movie who I don't think shows up in any other Scooby-Doo part of the franchise.
13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo has a little boy named Funflam, and he never shows up again. Also, I can't believe I remember the name of the child from 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, if you weren't
going to
say it, I was going
to. Oh, you knew it was Funflam? Okay, good.
He's basically, he's short round.
He's short round, yeah. Well,
he's copyright infringement.
Yeah, a little bit of that, too.
It's Hanna-Barbera, it's what they do.
Yeah. They rip people off and they do the same background over and over and over again. It's their business model.
With the same sound effect.
Flintstones is the Honeymooners.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo is Dobie Gillis.
Jetsons is also the Honeymooners.
Yeah. But in the future.
That's a premise so nice, they stole it twice.
I will die on the hill.
I did a movie with them together.
Yep.
Yeah. I will die on the hill that the Jetsons are infinitely better than the Flintstones.
Oh, agreed.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Also, I watched a couple Flintstones recently, and it is not good.
It's very slow.
Yes. I watched half of one, and it felt like I'd watched three episodes of another show. I specifically watched the Bewitched crossover.
Oh, you did?
Bewitched crossover?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they don't even give her, a stone name. She's just Samantha, not Samanthrock.
Or
that would be Stone Mantha.
Or Sand Mantha.
Yeah, they don't even try.
Did you watch the one with the Great Gazoo?
No.
Oh, he shows up multiple times.
And the last season.
The one, the Bewitched crossover is the one right before the Gazoo shows
the Great
up.
Gazoo.
Yeah, and I did not.
Dum dum.
Yeah, I didn't watch that because I knew it would be bad.
Yeah, there was a What a Cartoon that did.
Yeah, that's why. And
yeah, I think
Off mentioned that there was a Bewitched one. I'm like, well, I got to see that.
All right, so we have a lot more news and not a lot of time to go through it. So let's do some quick hits. Netflix is getting a Redwall series.
Oh, yeah, looking at me.
looking at you.
So Redwall, the series of, you know, adventuring anthropomorphic animals.
Mice Fantasy.
Yeah, Mice Fantasy by Brian Jocks. I love these books. I own every single one.
I saw your picture you posted on Facebook of all the books.
Oh, on the Nerdist post or whatever? Yeah, yeah. There's like 21, 22 books.
I've heard they're really good, but I've never
I really
never
like them.
Them.
I really do. It's weird, though, because they jump around within the timeline so much. Like, there's the first book, then the next book takes place, like, I don't know, ancient times before, and then the next book is the sequel to the first book. it goes around a lot. But as far as what they're saying is, the guy who made Over the Garden Wall, is working on this Red Wall,
which I've heard nothing but good things
about. I love Over the Garden Wall.
It's really good.
It's really good. It's also really kind of weird and also kind of dark at times.
Like, that's fine. If that fits with Red Wall, then great.
Oh, yeah. So far, they're doing two Red Wall projects. There's one where they're just doing the first book, and they're doing one with Martin the Warrior, who pops up in multiple books. So it's hard to say where they're going to go with that one. They could do Mossflower, where it shows him coming to the area where Redwall mostly takes place, or it might be one of the ones where he's like, you know, looking for his dad or something.
Where like a vole fights a badger with a sword.
I mean, yeah, it happens. It happens. In one of the books, there's a part where there's a badger wearing armor covered in spikes, and he just starts grabbing rats and hugging them to death.
Dang.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The for being quote unquote kids' books, the violence is...
It's a real watership down situation.
Sometimes.
Real Secret of Nim type. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But also, 9 times out of 10, the hero never actually kills the main villain. It's always some, I mean, they have a hand in it, but it's always some kind of other weird thing.
That's okay. That's fine. Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But yeah. Right.
I would love to talk about more of this. Yeah, We've got to move on to other stuff.
That's about all there really is anyway.
Yeah. So they're making a Borderlands live action movie. I know nothing about Borderlands, but the cast so far seems crazy.
It's way too good for the source material.
I wonder if they'll do their makeup with real heavy dark lines to mimic the art of the games.
That's true. It does have a very unique art style. Kinda, yeah. Or
it's very, very comic book hardline-esque.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
But Jamie Lee Curtis, Kate Blanchett, and now Jack Black.
As that little robot.
Yeah, are the three names so far that have been...
Eli Roth
is directing it. So it's going to be really good.
There was another one. Somebody's playing the character Brick.
Kevin Hart is Roland.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Hart is Roland. Okay, yeah. Well, all right.
Which, I mean, he's a big name. I don't particularly care for Kevin Hart, but...
That's fine. I mean, 3 out of 4.
Really good. Kevin Hart gives me hope because he's 5'3", and I'm 5'3".
I mean, all he does is yell. That's his shtick, is just like being small and yelling.
I mean, Chris Tucker did the same thing. He built a career out of yelling.
He did build an entire career off of yelling, "I'm Chris Tucker!"
and you know what? That's fine. Not for me.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I hate to say that we've hit time, but we have actually hit time, so we should probably go ahead and wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can shoot us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, and you can also leave a voicemail on the Nerd Overload hotline. Just give us a call. 586-372-8020. Cast us some Borderlands characters.
You can find all of our back episodes there. I hear there are 299 of them on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And lastly, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Man, we had all this news and we went down the Hanna-Barbera hole again.